y'all could be here with us this morning. Right now, we're going to get started. I want to say a few announcements. We've got Vacation Bible School starting tomorrow, from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and it goes Monday through Friday. We have a registration form. If I can turn around, you'll find them there in the front. Get these in as soon as you can, because it's starting tomorrow. And we also, they're taking up the Prayer Warrior, Prayer Love. We got bottles down here you can pick up. Mad, this one's even got some green in there besides coins, but pick these up, turn them in, whenever you can. They'd like to have them in by the end of this month, so as long as you can do that by then. And we also got a church business meeting next Sunday after the service is over. If you'd like to everybody to stay if you can and go through that business meeting. We still have the menu of ministries. They're at each door, each outlet on the tables. Sign up for that. Make sure you get your name in the back. And just check off on the inside whatever you think you'd like to help with. We have a men's breakfast coming up on August 8th. That's the second Saturday of August. The WMU meeting, their next meeting is August 3rd at John and Mrs. Davis' house. The next deacons meeting is August 4th at 8 o'clock. The advisory committee is having a meeting 1 week from Tuesday here at the church and the library. And right offhand, I think that's all the announcements I got for this morning. So if you will, we'll say the opening your hearts to mind and worship. Just read along with me. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. 1 Chronicles 16:3. And now you bow your head in prayer, and John's going to lead us in prayer.
As the praise team comes forward, I'm going to invite you to join me in prayer. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Deliver us from evil, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Culture claims to know about Jesus, but many people are in the dark about who he really is. This summer at Vacation Bible School, they'll be learning, the title of it is Illumination Station, and they will learn about shining a light on the truth of who Jesus really is. Kids will explore all the ways light brightens, illuminates, reflects, and reveals while discovering that Jesus is the light who brings hope to a dark world. Throughout Scripture, light is a beautiful picture of God's presence, his truth, and his guidance. Today, all of our songs are going to be about light and the reflection of that message. Join us as we sing. This first one you should know from childhood. So sing loud.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Hide it under a bushel now. We give God the glory. Praying for revival. God is good.
All the time.
God is good, and He's good indeed. I am excited about Vacation Bible School and about what God is going to do in this couple of days that we're going to have together as we minister to our community and also have a great time with our children. And so I want to ask you, after the service, right after the service, I would like us to just do a walkthrough, if you can, through the fellowship so we can pray and just ask God for His presence. Amen? And so I encourage you to please stay a couple of minutes, and we'll go down there and walk and pray together. I know you got some folks that we need to pray for. So who's in your heart this morning? Just lift the name up, please. Father, we bring these names to you, O Lord, and we ask, Lord, that you would do a miracle in their lives. Father, we even as we're meeting right now, Father, our brother Jack is having surgery, Father, and we just want to lift him up right now. Be with the doctors. Be with Miss Cindy, Father, as well, and the whole family. And Father, we pray, O Lord, that you continue to minister in our midst, where you continue to comfort those, Lord, who have lost loved ones this week, O Lord. Father, we pray that you strengthen them. We pray that you encourage them. Father, we pray that you give them your perspective. Father, we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together. And Father, we pray for revival, Father. We're still here. And Father, we have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God. Father, and Father, we have you in our hearts. And Father, you're not done with us yet. So, Father, we are here, and we just want to give you all honor and all glory. We want to join the heavenly choir, and we want to praise the Lord from here on earth. Father, we give you all honor and glory in Christ's name. Amen.
Hey, real quick, I wanted to, 2 weeks ago, y'all can have a seat, I'm sorry. 2 weeks ago, we had a celebration of Pastor Dennis's 2-year anniversary here, and we gave him a love offering, and I appreciate all that y'all gave. In the meantime, the deacon body was thinking about doing something, and John Davis actually brought this to my attention. Pastor Dennis's Bible that he used to use was falling apart. You had it since college, right? Long times. You know, most pastors have their favorite Bible. So we were going to refurbish that Bible as the deacon body, but Ken and James offered up their class, the Frank Withoff class, to go ahead and make that possible. So we thank y'all for making that possible. So today, I would like to present to you not a new Bible, but a refurbished Bible. So there you go. Let me hold that.
Wow. Thank you.
But again, we thank you so much for your commitment and your leadership to our church.
Thank you very much. Great. Thank you all. Appreciate it.
For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made His light shine in our hearts. Stand and sing Heavenly Sunlight.
Is mine. Shadows around me, shadows above me.
Don't forget that as we come to this point of the service, even though you're sitting and we're standing up here singing, if you know the words and you know the song, you should join in with us. It's not just us. Children's Church.
Thank you so much. We give God the glory for what the Lord is doing in our midst. Sweet 15. It's a time to celebrate. In America, in Canada, we celebrate Sweet 16. It's a special day in a girl's life. Typically, they learn to drive. Maybe get their first job, assume other adult responsibilities. In the Hispanic culture, we celebrate Sweet 15. And it's amazing, people sell everything they can because it's the biggest celebration in a household who has a girl who's turning 15. Sometimes they spend more money in a Sweet 15 than they spend in the wedding. Is big in the Hispanic culture. Today we're going to talk about Sweet 15, but we're going to go to the book of Isaiah chapter 38, and we're going to talk about Sweet 15 of Hezekiah. And I'm going to ask you to stand in reverence to God's holy word. I'm preaching from my old Bible today. Just got it. We thank you very much. God's word says, and we'll just read the first three verses, and it says, in those days Hezekiah was sick and near death. Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Let's continue reading. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah saying, go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. Father, we thank you so much. Thank you for allowing us to be in your house. Father, we just pray that you will set our hearts on fire, just like we sing, Father. That we will set our hearts on fire, Father, and that the nations, the people in our community, in our towns, in our counties will know that we belong to you, that we are your children, and that they will respond and that they will want what we have, the joy of the Lord. So we ask, Lord, now that you minister to us in Christ's name, amen. Our vision, we have our vision is to be a family of faith that glorifies God. Of course, the background of the book here, I don't know, you know, sometimes it says that when it rains, it pours. It rains, it pours. The king of Assyria was coming, and he was coming to destroy the people of God. He was coming to destroy Judah. It says that Uzziah, the king Uzziah had died, and Isaiah had come in and served 40 years. Oh, what a great ministry. But Hezekiah was already trembling because the enemy was coming. And all of a sudden, just like you and I go through every week, it seems like it never stops. There's always something. He gets sick. Now, he's the king. He's the king. He's there to protect. He's there to guide God's people against the enemy, the Assyrian king who's coming. But not only does he get sick, I mean, one thing is for you to get sick, and all of a sudden you get the news that you're about to die. This is where Hezekiah is. All of a sudden he says, I'm not only sick, I'm not only about to be destroyed by the Assyrians, but now I'm about to die. He does something that sometimes we have to learn while we're there. And then he says, in verse 3, he said, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with loyal heart, have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Have you ever been there? Where you think you won't make it the next day? Have you ever been there? And you don't know what's going to happen and what could happen, what potentially could happen, and you're in limbo. But God spared his life, and God responded to him. And he told Isaiah, go, in verse 5, he said, go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. God hears our prayer. And I have seen your tears. God has seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. Now, why did the Lord spare his life? Why did the Lord spare his life? Well, verse 1 tells us. He said, thus says the Lord, set your house in order. Set your house in order. First of all, God granted him life to put his life, his house, in order. Is your house in order today? Is your house in order? Is your life in order today? Because we don't know about tomorrow. What legacy are you going to leave for your family? What legacy are you going to leave for your children? If God called us home today, will it be division in your home? Are your children going to end up in the courts fighting over things? Do you have a will? Do you have things in order in your house today? Because it can happen, and it happens so quickly. There is no tomorrow. We need to do things now while God gives us life. This is when we got to do it. If you're well, if you can think, if you can analyze, this is the time to act. It happened to Hezekiah all of a sudden. He gets sick. And now he's to the point of death. Just like that. So the first thing, God grants us life to put our life in order. My life in order today? Is your life in order today? This is exactly what God told Hezekiah. But the second thing is, God wanted to hear his heart. In verse 3, it says, and he said, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with loyal heart, and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Did you notice he didn't go through Isaiah, the prophet? Do you know when God has the best of us? When we know that he's coming. We don't call for secondary, third, or somebody to be our intermediate person to go and come. He didn't go through the prophet. He went straight to God. You know, sometimes God allows things in our lives because he wants to hear from us. God wants to hear from his children. As parents, we want to hear from our children. Doesn't that bring us great joy when they call us? And what a joy it is when they visit and we can hug them. Amen? God wants to hear from his children. If you're a child, God wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from me. And listen, God wants to hear your heart. He wants to see your heart. He wants to know your heart. But not only does he want to hear our heart, but he also wants us to be on the same page with him. God wants us to be in the same page with him. And in verse 4 says, and the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I love that. God hears our prayer. Can you imagine that? That God hears our prayer? He wants to hear truthful prayers. Not just, I want to thank you for the rain today, Lord. He wants us to go deeper. He wants us to go inside our hearts and really tell him what's going on in our hearts. He wants us to be in the same page. Are you in the same page with the Lord? Sometimes we need to switch roles. Don't tell God what you are going to do, but rather what he wants you to do. The big difference. Lord, I'm going to do this. Lord, I'm going to do this. And God says, where are you going? But he's good, Lord, he's good. My pastor always used to tell me in New Orleans, he said, good is enemy of the excellent. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? We need to switch the roles, but we also need to have no menus in the will of God. No picking. Lord, I just want to do this. That's all I want. Don't bother me, Lord. That's all I'm doing, and I'm good. Until we get to where Hezekiah was. See, when we get back to where Hezekiah was, we realize we've been fooling ourselves because we think we've been fooling God because we pick and choose. We go to Golden Corral and we say, I just want this. I just want the vegetables. And those look kind of yellowish. Can I have more? Can I just have the ones that look kind of green? I want a steak. Can you just cut the fat? My grandma used to be the opposite. She ate the fat. You figure, she lived to be 94. Maybe there's something good in there. You'll grab a tortilla and grab all that fat and put it in there. We're in America. Sometimes we just pick and choose. Lord, that's where I want to serve. I can see the Lord on his throne looking at me. I thought you said you wanted to do my will. Yeah, But, you know, Lord, that's just a little bit too much. But I thought you said I'm the Lord. The servant doesn't tell the Lord what to do with him. See, Hezekiah had arrived, truthful heart, just the way he was, and now he's before God, and he's pleading for his life. And isn't God good? He gave him 50 more years. If you had a rebellious child, will you give him a day? God is good. We say it every Sunday, God is good. All the time. God is good all the time. And he gave him 15 more years. So how do we know the will of God? How do we know the will of God? It's the question. I know in the spiritual world, we're not supposed to check boxes, but when it comes to the will of God, I think we do. Maybe you agree with me and maybe you don't. But I do believe. You know, sometimes I have to auto-examine myself, right? Self-examine myself. I said, Dennis, are you praying? Are you in the Word like you're supposed to be? You know, and just kind of check your box. Sometimes what I do when I start the day, I write the things that I have to do that day. Sometimes God reminds me. I get back to Hezekiah mode. And God just sometimes says, You haven't tithed yet. You need to tithe. This is why these things are happening, because you're not being faithful to me. You're not coming to church anymore. What's wrong with you? See, we have to self-examine ourselves where we are. Because just like Hezekiah got me to just show up one day and say, stop. I'm done. Time to go. So, how do I know what is the will of God? Well, how do I know? The first thing, number one, how do I know? I'm almost there. We got to be on the same page with the PowerPoint, just like with God. Got to be on the same page. So, here it is. So how do we know the will of God? How do I know? Well, first of all, God's will is already revealed right here. Complete revelation. See, when we study the Bible, God was making the Bible, using this, all these servants, all the prophets, and Paul and Peter. But we have the great blessing to have the Bible, to have the full revelation of God. It's right here. So what's the first box that I need to check? Number one, first of all, am I saved? So what is the will of God for me? See, sometimes that's the wrong question to ask. Lord, what is your will? What is it that you want me to do? And this is the very, very first thing. Everything begins with spiritual. And it says in 1 Timothy 2, 3, and 4, he says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires, some version says, who wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. What's God's will? He wants everybody to be saved. So, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. Maybe you're watching us through Facebook today and you're asking yourself, I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, first of all, God wants you to be saved. God granted Hezekiah 15 years. I don't know how many days we got. Only the good Lord knows. You see, we're in the dash right now. On the tombstones, they have the date of birth and the day when we depart this world. Right now, we're in the dash. How long is the dash? We don't know. But there are things that we do know because God has revealed to them, to us. John, 1 John 2:2, he says, "And he himself is the propitiation of our sins, and not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world." The whole world. God died, sent Christ to die on the cross for the whole world. So what is the second thing God wants me to be, that he wants me to know, and that is his will? He wants me to be baptized. Acts 2:41. Those who accepted his message were baptized. You see, those who accepted Christ were baptized. That's the will of God. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000 people. That's the will of God. The will of God is for me to be saved. The will of God is for me to be baptized. But also, he said, well, I already did that. So what am I supposed to do now? This is fresh off the press. I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles 15, because this is going to give us an understanding. I said, wait a minute. If I already got baptized, I already accepted the Lord, I'm already coming to church, Lord, what else you want me to do? What else you want me to do? And in this King Asa, it's amazing what happens here. Because one of the things that happens when we begin our journey with the Lord, sometimes we're just there. You're just there. It's like you register in school, you register for classes, and you go to class, but you don't do anything else. You're just there. And people ask you, are you in school? Are you in college? Say, yes, I am. But you're not really engaged. You're not really trying nothing. You're just there. You're just going. And sometimes in the Christian walk, this is exactly what happens. We checked those two boxes, and we're done. I'm done. I'm here, brother. But listen, there is a lot more than that, though. So, I put here refilling. Because Asa is the king of Judah. And in verse 1 and 2, 15, 1 and 2, 2 Chronicles, it says, "And now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to see Asa and said to him, 'Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. And if you forsake him, he will forsake you.'" What needs to happen now? Why is the church dead in America? Why is the church dead in the whole continent? And I'm reminded of Paul talking to the church at Ephesus. He said, "Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." See, what we're missing and what's missing, we need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is there, but we are just walking. He's not moving in our lives. He's not working through us. We just go and we come. But the Spirit of God is not. This is exactly what has happened to King Asa. He's there, and the whole nation had become the same way. This is contagious. God has given us the Spirit of God. We have resurrection power in us, but we're living like dead folks, but we're alive. Somebody understands what I'm saying? The whole nation had become dead because the king is dead. Spiritually, there's nothing about the Holy Spirit here. Now, in the Old Testament, we have the Spirit of God going and coming, going and coming. In the New Covenant, the Spirit of God came and he seals us. It says Ephesians 1:13. So that means that the Spirit of God is here in us. But sometimes, even though the Spirit of God lives in us, he's not alive in us. He's not alive. And this is what happened to Asa. So the first thing that needs to happen in verse 1, he said, now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Edah. He said, went out to meet Asa and said, hear me, O Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you, and if you forsake him, he will forsake you. He wants us to be active because he is active. You know, we can resist the Holy Spirit. And when we resist them, we become dead. We're alive, but we live like dead folks. So once the Spirit of God comes and revives Asa, look what happens in verse 8. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Obed, the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had taken on the mountains of Ephraim. And he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those who dwell with him in Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, for they came over him in great number from the Israel that they saw that the Lord his God was with him. See, once we are filled with the Spirit of God, action takes place. Before that, he was like a zombie, just going. Where are you going, First Baptist? Next Sunday, where are you going, First Baptist? No action. God had many opportunities, but you didn't see them because you're not walking in the Spirit. Maybe there were 10 people that could have come to know Christ but you're walking in deadness, you're alive. And this is an epidemic. I'm dead, I transfer deadness. And we think this is what we're supposed to do. Bunch of dead folks, but we are not dead, we're alive. And now we gotta awaken. Once the Spirit of God came upon Asa, the action began. He took action. And then action moved to conviction. Look at verse 13. 15:13. And he says, and whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death. Can you imagine that? Whether small or great, whether man or woman, when they took an oath before the Lord with loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their hearts and sought him with all their soul, he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. Also, he removed Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, from being queen mother. See, when the Spirit of God is working, everything aligns. Because she had made an obscene image of Asherah, and Asa cut down her obscene image and then crushed and burned it by the brook of Kidron. So you went from being filled to taking action to having conviction again. That's what happened to Asa. And that's the same thing God wants to do in First Baptist Church. Conviction. Jesus is coming. Conviction. I'm saved. Conviction. God is with me. Conviction. Conviction. So now that we're walking, now we are aligned with God, now the Spirit of God is alive in us, now we take action, now we don't pick and choose, we says, thus says the Lord. What do you want, Lord? What do you want me to do, Lord? I am here. I'm yours. Every day of my life is yours. Oh, Lord, you have put my name in the book of life. Lord, I am yours. And you are the master. You are the Lord. You are the King of kings. You are not me. We need to change the roles. What would happen if God had it his way at First Baptist Church? I believe, Brother Ray, that we will have revival. We need to quit going to Golden Corral. I just want a little bit of that. I am allergic to that. I can't eat that. I sure don't want. Today is Friday. I don't eat fish on Friday, Lord. You know that. And Lord said, why aren't you just thankful you got food today? Not about us. Our time here is short. But we will spend eternity in heaven. So, am I saved? Am I baptized? Am I refilled? See, the church belongs to Christ. And he's the head of the church. It's not the pastors, not the deacons, Sunday school teachers. No. Jesus is the head of the church. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands. Remember this, husbands. Love your wives. Amen? And what I always tell you, do not try to understand them. Thank you, brother. And there's a comparison here about this wonderful relationship. And he says, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. The church belongs to the Lord. So when I get saved, I get baptized, I become part of the body of Christ. That's the will of God. When we live in Tifton, for a moment I felt like Noah. I saw armadillos, deer, snakes, and bunnies. This is his church. And we want you to visit the church because it's the church of the Lord. It's not my church, it's the Lord. But listen, God wants you to join the church. Whether it's this one or another one. I was serving in a church one time, and there was a family that came. We were the third church that they had joined in 1 year. What do you think God thinks about that? By the way, there's no perfect church. Only in Atlanta there's a church called the Perfect Church. And it's not very big, by the way. People get sick. People get tired. People are hurting. But we do not have an option. This is the body of Christ. Is it like a hospital? Yes, it's like a hospital. Everyone here has something, including me. It's like a hospital. Some sickness are different than others, some more severe than others, but it's still the body of Christ, still the church of God, and he's still the head of his church. What is God's will for your life? Join. This is the body of Christ. Whether you join this church or another body of Christ, but that's the will of God. He wants us to be part of the body. He wants us to feel. He wants us to be concerned for other people. He wants us to go to bed thinking about how is Brother Jack doing? How is Miss Jean doing? How is the family of Miss Lucille and Betty doing right now? How are they? See, that's the body of Christ. That's the will of God. For us to feel. To be concerned. He wants us to join. To be part of his body. He wants us to grow. He wants us to grow in Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:1, he says, I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. See, they thought that they were spiritual. The Corinthian church, they had all the spiritual things. They're the only church that had the issues with the speaking in tongues and all of this. The spiritual gifts but yet they were children. They were divided. They had division. They would get drunk during the Lord's Supper. They had real wine. Do you know God expects us to grow spiritually? That's his will. Sometimes you don't know where to go. You don't know what to do. Check the box. Am I growing? Am I different than last year? Where am I? Am I more Christ-like? Am I making disciples? Jesus said, Claude King says, these were the most important words of Jesus. He's the one who wrote Spirit of God. This is the last words of his earthly ministry. Go and make disciples of all nations. So how do you know what's God's will? Just ask yourself. Are you making disciples? Are you helping anybody grow in understanding of Scripture? In prayer, in being faithful. Am I sharing my faith? Philippian jailer. He said, men, what must I do to be saved? They share the gospel with him. God's will is for us to share the gospel. Of course, God's will is for me not to live and be lured by sin. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. And I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you desire or you wish to do. And lastly, whatever you and I are doing, that's to bring glory to God. Are people talking more about you, whether you have a business or whatever you do? Are they talking more about you, or are they talking more about God? Are they exalting you, or are they glorifying God? God says that we are here to glorify the Lord. We are here to glorify the Lord and not ourselves. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Are the nations, our people, glorifying God because of how you and I live? That's the will of God. That's all I got. I don't have too much. We need to make decisions. How many more years do we have on earth? Right now, we're on the dash. But at the end of that dash, God is waiting for us. We're going to meet God. Hebrews 9:27 says, and after death, there's judgment. As we tell our children, we need to straighten up because we're going to meet Jesus one-on-one. Father, we thank you so much for today. Father, we give you all the honor and all glory. It's not for us. It's not for us. We could not even save ourselves. If it wasn't for your grace, if it wasn't for your love, I'm not going to ask you to come forward. What I am going to ask you is, if you have a decision to make, Do like Hezekiah did. Go straight to God. And just lift up your right hand. Tell the Lord. Lord, I'm going to make it right. Because you're with me. Lord, I'm going to make it right. There's still time. We're still here. As the music leads us.
Stand and sing with us.
We thank you so much for allowing us to be in your house today. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. We had an appointment with you today. Father, may you, O Lord, guide us to do your will. Father, we pray for this city that is lost and needs Jesus. We pray for this county. We pray for this city. Especially we pray for us. Father, may you fill us with your Holy Spirit. And may we see the glory of God. To you, O Lord, be the honor and glory in Christ's name. Amen. We are dismissed.